Over the next few weeks in Kusen, I would like to explore the Sandokai, the harmonious coming together of difference and unity. It was a favorite chant of our founder Nancy Amfu, and an important formative text in Chinese Chan Zen that deeply influenced Dogen's thinking. The first verse. The mind of the great sage of India is intimately transmitted from west to east. People's abilities may be keen or dull, but on the path there is no southern or northern schools. The Sandokai is a poetic expression of the understanding of the nature of awakening. The nature of awakening expressed in the mind of the great sage of India, the Buddha. Buddha mind, which is intimately transmitted. Not something that is passed on in mere words, but something that is passed on through experience, shared practice. Transmission is shared practice from warm hand to warm hand over the centuries, the millennia. A shared practice, a shared experience, a shared understanding. People's abilities may be keen or dull, but in the path there are no southern or northern ancestors. From the perspective of practice, we are different, we have our strengths and weaknesses, but this doesn't matter. Whether we are intellectual, whether we are not so clever, whether we are energetic, whether we are lacking in energy, sleepy, not so important from the perspective of practice. In the path, there are no southern or northern ancestors. This is a historical, poetic allusion to different philosophical schools in Buddhism. In particular, is awakening gradual or is awakening sudden? And Sekito in the Sandokai says, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it, just practice. Dogen would say later that we are always already awakened, and whether we realize that gradually or suddenly is not so important. That just depends on our personal particularities. So simply abandon oneself to practice and don't worry too much about the conceptualization of it. So simply abandon oneself wholeheartedly to each breath, each moment of practice, intimately shared from master to disciple, intimately shared in the community of the Sangha, practicing together. Not so important our differences, not so important our personal opinions, but simply expressing practice together. So returning to the Sandokai. So in the first verse of the Sandokai, Sekito speaks of the mind of the great sage of India, of the Buddha. A mind which embraces both the many and the one. In the next verse, Sekito says, "The spiritual source shines clearly in the light. The branching streams flow in the darkness. Grasping things is basically delusion. Merging with principle is still not enlightenment." This is the view from the perspective of the mind of the great sage. The mind of the great sage does not get trapped in phenomena, but does not flee to the absolute, rejecting the reality of existence every day. It's a mind which sees both, lives in both, dwells in both. And Sekito expresses this poetically. The spiritual source shines clearly in the light. The light being the world of everyday phenomena, the world of things that we see, the world of the everyday, of illusion, of discrimination, is not separate from the spiritual source. The spiritual source can be seen clearly through the particular of everyday living. The branching streams flow in the darkness. The darkness, the hidden of the spiritual source, is nonetheless permeated with the branching streams of the particular. The branching streams of discrimination, the branching streams of individuality, not separate. One reality, two views. The views of the many, the views of the one. And living in either one of these views from a Zen perspective is inadequate. And our practice is to let go of the many to experience the one, and to experience the many through the one, and experience the one through the many. To quote Okamura in his commentary on this verse, he says that practice is seeing our lives from two different perspectives as one seamless reality. So when the branching streams of thought flow in the mind, without the mind grasping them, then the darkness of the spiritual source can be experienced within and between them. The spiritual source shines clearly in the light. The branching streams flow in the darkness. So it's interesting that Sekito uses a metaphor that is in many ways opposite from that which is used when we speak of enlightenment. In his poetic interpretation, what is in the light is the obvious, the particular, the everyday. Good, bad, hot, cold, right, wrong, me, you, the world of discrimination. Whereas darkness for him is the non-obvious, unity of all things, the simple feeling of being, which is shared, So in the world of illusion, we get caught up, tangled in the branching streams. The branching streams of thought, of opinions, and the practice of Zazen is to let go of this, but not to deny it or reject it. By letting go of the branching streams, then the branching streams are experienced as flowing in the darkness. We can live with an experience of the many and of the one. And by living with that reality of the many and the one, then our particular ego, our particular personality, can manifest while at the same time letting go, not taking itself too seriously. So right now, be present. Let thoughts pass. Let the branching streams flow. Let the awareness be open. Grasping things is basically delusion. Merging with principle is still not enlightenment. So for Sekito, the great mind of awakening embraces both the particular, the personal, and the universal. It's about a harmonizing of these two perspectives, these two aspects, these two realities. And the natural, everyday human state, normal, I should say, is to be tangled up in particularities, in our own personal story, our own personal situation, our own personal karma. So much so that we do not taste the universal in our everyday lives. And practice is to connect our reality with this universal, to let go of the personal, to let go of the personal, to allow the universal to be experienced in the spaces between the personal, in the simple feeling of being that we all possess and that all of reality shares. But this is not an escaping from the personal. And I think this is the essence of Zen. It says we don't flee the reality of the world for some spiritual escape, some spiritual which is outside the life we live. Rather, we try to harmoniously merge the two through practice. Maybe try is the wrong word. We allow the two to harmoniously merge through practice. For the universal to be expressed in the particular, and the particular to manifest in the universal. So practice is the manifestation of the particular and the universal harmoniously in one. Practice not only in Zazen, but in awareness and letting go of the ego in everyday life. The ego, the personal, never disappears, but it no longer dominates and allows the absolute, the universal, to be manifest in everyday reality. This isn't difficult or complicated. It's simply the letting go of body and mind in the moment. So returning to the Sandokai, the next verse. Each sense and every field interact and do not interact. When interacting, they also merge. Otherwise, they remain in their own states. So a slightly different translation based on Okumura. Each sense and all objects interact and do not interact. Always interacting, they also merge. Also, they remain in their own states. So this is about the relationship between self, the individual self, and the world around it, the cosmos. About both independence and interdependence. And the key message of the Sandokai is that neither perspective is adequate alone. We tend to think of ourselves as having independent self-nature, of being a defined essential self. Even if we don't believe it intellectually, there's a part of our fundamental makeup that makes us in the gut feel that we're the center of the universe. However, we're not. And the idea in Buddhism of emptiness or dependent origination says that this self that experiences itself as self is an emergent phenomena of the causes and conditions of the world and is not independently definable. It's created by the flows, patterns, interactions. So it's supported by all around it, and it in turn supports that which is around it. It cannot exist in any meaningful sense independently. This is the meaning of the phrase shunyata, emptiness, or dependent origination. And the key message of this verse and of the text, the whole text, is that the self and the cosmos are both always interacting, but also the self, in a certain sense, does have its unique identity. Both the relative perspective, where I feel I am in control, I feel I am the center of the universe, and the absolute perspective, which says that that I is merely an arising from the coming together of all things. Both of these views are right. So the self is always interacting and so merges with all things around it, but also the self remains in its own state. Individuality and universality always coexists, says Okumura. We should not negate or ignore either side. We should embrace both aspects of reality and live our lives from both perspectives, the perspective of the individual and the perspective of the universal. And what does this mean? It's not something that can be answered intellectually, even though I and many others before me speak words about it. in the end, what it means is grasped through one's own practice. And it is a koan, a riddle, which only our own individual, personal, can find a way through. But the path to doing so is the practice of Zazen. The practice of letting go of the personal, abandoning it to the universal, and once more receiving the personal. In each breath, in each moment of life, it's a practice for right this very moment. So the next verse from Sandokai. Forms are basically different in material and appearance. Sounds are fundamentally different in pleasant or harsh quality. Darkness is a word for merging upper and lower. Light is an expression for distinguishing pure and defiled. So once more, Sekito is encouraging us to look at both the relative and the absolute, to experience this in our practice, to actualize it in our practice. And here, firstly, he speaks of the relative. Forms are basically different in material and appearance. So each one of us is different. Each one of us has different personality, different strengths, different weaknesses. Not only us, but the whole of existence. There are many forms, manifold forms, many dualities, hot, cold, light, dark, pleasant, unpleasant. All this is a real characteristic of the life that we experience in the relative world. And inevitably we judge it, which is what the next line says. Sounds are fundamentally different in pleasant or harsh quality. So it says that there are distinctions in the experience of the relative world, and we judge those distinctions. Our personality, our ego, has preference for some things over others and can like some things at some times and not like them at other times. The example that Okumura gives is a piece of dance music which might feel great at one time, but if it's played in the zendo, will cause disturbance of the mind. So sometimes we like it, sometimes we find it disturbing. So this is saying that this experience of reality, of the relative world, of the difference of all things, including ourselves, and the fact that we like some of this and don't like some of this, is, from a relative perspective, real. However, it's not everything. And that's what the next two lines are speaking about. Darkness is a word for merging upper and lower. So in his poetry, he uses the phrase darkness to represent the fact that these distinctions that we make are only relative, only subjective, and upper and lower, better, worse, good, bad, merge when we let go of these distinctions. However, light is an expression for distinguishing pure and defiled. So in this relative world, there really is pure and defiled, good and bad, better and worse, appropriate and not so appropriate. And here he's referring to the famous story of the sixth patriarch, and the two poems, the first of which encourage practitioners to purify themselves, and the second of which was written in an answer to that and said, from the fundamental perspective, there is nothing to purify. And the second poem was considered the greater at that time. And therefore, Sekito is in the lineage of that second poem. But Sekito says, this is not an excuse or a reason for not working in the relative. Both perspectives are necessary and appropriate. So we both do purify, do strive to, in some sense, be better. But at the same time, we let go of that. We see that that is irrelevant from the perspective of the absolute. In other words, we should experience the world, we should experience our life, from both of these perspectives, the perspective of light and darkness, the perspective of differentiation and discrimination, and letting go of that differentiation and discrimination. And so this absolute perspective is not an excuse for beat Zen bad behavior, as Nancy used to complain about. So this is a mistake that particularly was made in the 60s with regard to experience of Zen. The fact that in Zen we step beyond discrimination, morality, etc., is not an excuse for bad morality, but it's a recognition that we often get caught up and trapped in the particulars, creating rules, whether those are rules about how we behave, good or bad, or whether they're rules about exactly what one does in a Zen center. We get caught up in those and do not let go to the universality of life. So we have to learn to see that universality through Zen practice, through the letting go of discrimination, judgment, irritation at people who we think got it wrong. And this is what interdependence is. Interdependence is exactly the letting go of the personal and seeing that the personal arises from the relationships with all things. Seeing that our opinions are simply emerging phenomena. Even though they might be appropriate, nonetheless, they are simply emerging phenomena. However, if we step beyond this personal and cling to this perspective of the absolute and call it enlightenment, then we're making a mistake. Instead, we need to let go of both the relative and the absolute, not solidify it, not reify it, not take any perspective too seriously. And of course, the best way to do that from the perspective of Zen is the practice of Zazen, the practice of being present and letting thoughts flow, opening the hand of thought, seeing that the thoughts that we create, the structures we create, even those structures that are about the nature of awakening, the nature of enlightenment, are not so serious. And through that, according to Okumura, then we actualize both darkness and light. We actualize both the relative and the absolute perspective in our practice and in our lives, naturally, unconsciously, and automatically, without effort, without intellectual, without the need for intellectual thinking about it to make it happen, We simply allow it to happen, letting go. So right now, simply let go of the words I've said. Might be a bit intellectual, no matter. Let go and abandon your own thoughts to your breath. And in that way, be one with the simple feeling of being that is shared throughout the cosmos.